Well, next month, there's a holiday called Memorial Day. A memorial is done for remembrance. It's done so that people will remember something. And most people on Memorial Day will do what? Well, they will go over to a gravesite. They will go over to fallen heroes. There was always a cemetery at the Arlington Cemetery. The president will go there. They lay a wreath before the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. A Memorial Day. There's a Vietnam Memorial. There are war memorials. There's a memorial in Israel called Yad Vashem, and where they have the people who died in the Holocaust. There are various memorials. Now, in the Old Testament, we are warned about the tragedy of forgetting. God doesn't forget. You take a look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then the Eternal said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." God makes a statement. God says, "I'm going to do something." He watches over his word. He remembers it to perform it. In Psalms 106, verse 45, it says, "And he remembered his covenant for their sake, and relented according to the greatness of his loving kindness." His loving kindness in the Bible is his covenant kindness. It's often translated mercy, but it means loving kindness or covenant kindness. It's the kindness that comes because God is in covenant with us. Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. "But God heard," you know, the Israelites were in Egypt after Joseph died. The Pharaoh came along. He said, "I don't know Joseph. I don't know these people. Let's make slaves of them. Let's abuse them. Let's take advantage of them and have them do our hard work and labor." So the Israelites did that. They labored. And when you're a slave, let me ask you, how many days a week do you get off? How many vacations do you get? You don't get vacations. There's no vacation pay when you're a slave. You don't get to say, "Hey, you know, today's the Sabbath. I think I'll rest." Oh, no, you don't rest on the Sabbath. Get out there. And you're going to work. You're going to work 6 days, 7 days a week. 7 days a week. You're going to keep working when we say you work. Or we'll smack you around. We'll beat you. We'll whip you. And so the people were groaning after so long a time. And the Bible says here in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, "So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them." He remembered. Now, we're warned, strongly warned, about forgetting something. We're warned about forgetting. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 9, "Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and that they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons." In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, "Beware that you do not forget the Eternal your God by not keeping his commandments." One of the ways you forget God is not keeping his commandments, "and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today." Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 7, "Remember." Now, this is a statement that said it both positively and negatively. "Remember, do not forget." So, you know, it's number one is to remember it. That's the positive aspect. "Do not forget." That's the other aspect. "How you provoked the Eternal your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place, you have been rebellious against the Eternal. Remember and do not forget." Now, you know, one of the ways that people make changes in their life, one of the ways that we grow in character, We grow spiritually. One of the ways we grow socially, one of the ways we grow and develop and reach higher planes of our actions and behaviors is by remembering. Can you remember something you did and you say, I don't want to do that again? I did that. I'm not going to do that again. Because you remembered it was a bad thing. You remembered how embarrassing it was. You remember how many people you hurt. You remember that you did. I don't want to do that again. That's what you say. Because it was not right. It was not good. It was not. And so when you think back, and here's God saying, I want you to remember and do not forget how you provoked the Eternal, your God, to wrath. Don't forget that. You know, so many people, they forget it. They just go right along. They do this. And you say, well, people learn from their mistakes. Oh, no, some people do not. Some people don't learn from their mistakes. Number one, they don't remember them. Number two, they just keep going along, making the same mistake year after year, day after day, time after time. They just keep making it. No, remember, do not forget how you provoked. That's one of the ways you change. If you remember it, I'm not going to do that. It was a very bad thing, so you don't do it. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, and verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Eternal your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm, and therefore the Eternal your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Now, you're a slave. You don't have a Sabbath day. So what's the commandment when he gives the Ten Commandments there in the book of Exodus? How does that commandment start? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember it. Now, what God had to do with them as they came out, he had to give them, you know, he had to show them which day it was, because on the sixth day, you're going to get a double part of the manna that fell from heaven, but on the seventh, there's not going to be any. If you go out there, there's not to pick manna, there's not going to be any. So he trained them. You go out, and they went out, and they didn't find any. On the sixth day, they could gather twice as much. If they gathered twice as much on any other day and tried to overdo it, it rotted, you know, it didn't take care. It wouldn't be preserved. But on the sixth day, they could gather twice as much. So he taught them which day was the Sabbath. It was the seventh day of the week. That's today. And he said, remember it. Remember it. And one of the things he wanted them to remember is, you were a slave. You never got a chance to rest. Now I'm giving you a chance to rest and worship me on that day. So remember it. And do it. Now, in the book of chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, you shall not eat leavened bread with the Passover, he's talking about. 7 days you shall eat with unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. So that, let's notice Deuteronomy here, 16 verse 3, so that you may remember all the days of your life. The day you came out of the land of Egypt. You'll remember all the days of your life. But that's what they were told to do, to remember it. Did they remember it? No, they forgot. They forgot. Judges chapter 8, verse 34. Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Eternal, their God, who delivered them from the hands of their enemies on every side. They didn't remember. Forgot it. It's easy to forget. You know, a lot of people, just easy to forget. It's easy to forget things. You just sharp it out of mind because this has no significance. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Now, to forsake something, you got to just kind of put it aside. I've forsaken it. What do you mean by that? It wasn't important to you. It didn't have any real meaning for you. You just dropped it out. You have to kind of forget it. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And what's the second thing that they did after they forsook God, who was the fountain of the living waters? They hewed for themselves cisterns. Now, if you get the analogy of this, it's a powerful one. I could give you a whole sermon on this verse. I'm not going to take a lot of time here. That's not my concern here. But the analogy here is enormous. They've committed two bad things. One, they forsook me. Well, who was God? The fountain of what? Living waters. In the Old Testament times, a living water was a water that moved. It had to go. A stream was a living water. A fountain was a living water. Water that moved, it bubbled, it came up to the top. It was living water. And God says, I'm the fountain of the living waters. But they forsook me. So what kind of water did they have to drink? And they went and they hewed for themselves cisterns. You know what a cistern is? It's a big hole in the ground out of rock, and put a rock around it. And when the rain came, the waters would run down. They would usually put those cisterns down at the bottom of the hill, down at the bottom of a mountain. So the rain would fall down and come down, rushing down the down the mountain and fall into the cistern. And they would save it. We've got to save the water for dry times. Not only did they do that, they hewed for themselves cisterns, but God says here under Jeremiah, broken cisterns. We would say leaky cisterns that can't even hold water. So what did the people do? They forsook God, the source of the fountain of living waters. They went over here. It's a tragedy when you see people's lives, how they have forsaken God. And they go over here and they build a cistern. Running water, water that came over that sits now. This cistern is dead water. It doesn't move anymore. You capture it in a big hole in the ground. And you go over and dip some of it out, and you guess you got to boil it. You got to put a fire under it because, you know, it's got bugs and things and bacteria grow in it and all that. But it's better than no water at all. And then not only that, but you got a leaky cistern, a broken cistern that drains off. And so you often have a dry, muddy place. Yeah, they did two evils. In Hosea, you'll see that God remembering and forgetting is reciprocal. You remember me, I remember you. You know, you remember each other. People remember. But notice here, Hosea chapter 4, verse 5. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Boy, if that was ever true, it's true today. If it was ever true, it is so true today. There's so much knowledge and so many ideas and misconceptions. There's so much stuff out there that people can't separate what's true from false, what's false from true. They can't understand. They can't even make decisions in their own personal lives, even for the food they eat, the food, vitamins they take, or the drugs they take. They can't even make them. There's so much misinformation. And so here it is. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. Since you have, listen to this, since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So you forget me, God says. Guess what I'll do? I'll forget you. In Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 22, beginning of verse 22, dropping all the way down to verse 25, if you say in your heart, why have these things happened to me? Here's the answer. Because of the multitude of your iniquity, your skirts have been removed and your heels have been exposed. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. Therefore, I will scatter them like drifting straw to the desert wind. This is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, God says, declares the Eternal. Because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Well, God is truth. God is the God of truth, right? If you forget God, what are you going to go to? You're going to end up with falsehood. You go into the false. Let me have myths. Let me have ideas that are false. Let me just drink in of the myths of the world. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 62. I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Eternal, that you may remember and be confounded and never open your mouth again because of your shame. Again, there's the idea when you remember what you've done, when you remember the bad things, when you remember how you forsook God, then you say, okay, I'm going to change. When I forgive you, when I forgive you all that you have done, says the Eternal. You've got to remember that, and God's going to forgive you. God forgives you, you remember, and you say, I won't do that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, it goes like this, all the way down here to past verse 3 here. You shall remember all the way which the Eternal your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Now here's the end of the trip. And they're coming out. Deuteronomy is like Moses' great speech before they go into the land, go into the promised land. And he said, you better remember all these 40 years that he may humble you, that he might humble you, testing you. That's what he did during that time, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and he led you. He let you be hungry. He fed you with manna, in which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by everything that proceeds out of God's mouth. You shall remember, that's what it starts off in verse 2, all the way which the Lord led you. So, yes, God wants us to remember. God does not want us to forget. So here we have in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 20. When God forgives you, God does so on the basis of remembering his covenant, remembering his word. Here he's really condemning Ephraim, and that's Israel, the top tribe there. Jeremiah 31, verse 20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, and God got mad at Ephraim, got mad because they left, they went into paganism, they went into Baal worship, I'm so mad at them. But is he my son? Listen to this next verse. I certainly still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Eternal. Now, you're a parent. If you're a parent and you think about your kid and you're angry with your son or daughter and you're furious maybe, but you're a parent, what do? You think back. I remember him. I remember them when they were young. I remember them struggling with this. I remember them when they were crying. I remember my kids. You remember them. And your heart, my heart yearns for him. That's what God said about Ephraim. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Yes. I remember him. And God says, I have mercy on him. I have to have mercy. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, he says, this is talking about the new covenant, but they will not teach again, each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Eternal, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. When God forgives you, he doesn't remember the sins. He doesn't go back and hold them. He doesn't go back. And by the way, if you're dealing with young people, you're dealing with teenagers, you're dealing with people, you need to think in terms of how you were at that time. Can you remember how you were as a teenager? Can you remember how you were as a little 8-year-old, 10-year-old? I know people say, I have no memory of that. I have clients that say, I cannot remember anything in grade school. They can't remember fourth grade. That's sad. But you want to remember what it's like to be a teenager, what it's like to be young, what it's like to want to spread your, fly out and spread your wings and fly away and do things and be on your own. And, you know, be a little rebellious and try different crazinesses and so on. You need to remember that when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with young people. Now, God wants his people to remember, so what did God do? God established memorials. Memory helps. Take a look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Eternal throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. It's a memorial. What's a memorial? Something to remember, something faced where you will remember something. And what did he want them to remember? This is Exodus now, chapter 13, verse 3. Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery. For by a powerful hand, the Lord brought you out of this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. Nothing leavened shall be eaten, because this is a memorial. Because how was it that they ended up eating unleavened bread? You know how they ended up eating unleavened bread? It wasn't that, hey, go down and buy some matzos here down at the store. We'll have some unleavened bread on the way out of Egypt. That's not how that happened. It happened because they were running out of Egypt so fast they didn't have time to let their bread leaven. Didn't have time for the yeast and the spores in the air to cause it to sourdough and raise that up. Grab it, let's go. Let's cook it before it's leavened. And they ended up eating unleavened bread. That's the memorial. Exodus chapter 28, verse 29. Aaron shall carry, and this is now for Aaron, he shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in his breastplate. You know, when the high priest walks around, he has a breastplate. He has a plate right here hanging from his I guess around his from his neck. This breastplate of judgment over his heart. Now it must come out right in here. Right in here is your heart. I want to have this breastplate right here. Now most people think their heart is way over here, but actually the heart is almost in the center of your chest. It's just right slightly to the left of your sternum, but it's right here. And he carries that breastplate over his heart, okay? When he enters the holy place, every time he goes into the holy place, he goes in before God, he carries that breastplate. And he does it for a memorial before the Eternal continuously. It reminds him, he represents the people of Israel. He's not there for himself. I wish some of our politicians would remember who they represented a little bit more than representing their own ideas, but they don't. They get in there and they want to do their own thing. But here's the memorial. The high priest goes in. He wants to represent Israel, all the tribes. He's the high priest of all the tribes. Is it the high priest for the people, for the tribe of Gad, for the tribe of Zebulun, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Issachar? Is he the high priest for all these priests? Yes, he is. He's the high priest for all of the tribes. So he goes in as a memorial before the Eternal continually. Exodus chapter 13, verse 8. And you shall show your son in that day. This is done because of that, because his son is going to ask you, why do we do this? Why are we eating this unleavened bread? Why are we doing this big meal? Why are we doing this? Because this is done because of what the Lord has done unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto you and upon your hand and for a memorial between your eyes. Right here. That the Eternal's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Eternal brought you out of the land of Egypt. Your name, this is Psalm 35, 135 in verse 13. Your name, O Eternal, is everlasting. Your remembrance, O Eternal, throughout all generations. We don't forget God. You're remembrance, and God remembers us, and we remember him, and it's just, and there's a scroll of remembrance, according to Malachi chapter 3, that is done. We remember God. God remembers us. So when you remember, there are a lot of things you need to remember, and we remember because it helps us to repent. We remember, it helps us to grow. We remember because it helps us to develop. We remember because remembering is a way of making changes. If you don't remember, you tend to repeat history over and over and over. You tend to repeat the same thing because you didn't know. You didn't understand history because you didn't remember. When Jesus was on earth, he did something. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And when he had taken some bread. Now, he didn't take a lamb. I want you to note that. He could have taken a piece of meat, right? He didn't take meat. He could have cut a piece of meat off and said, take this, this is me. This is the lamb that represents me. He didn't use meat. He used bread. And he broke it. He took some bread and he gave thanks. Now, the giving the thanks is called Eucharisto. The word for giving thanks in the Greek is Eucharisto. If I said give thanks, I would say Eucharisto. You'll go ahead and I would be a command form to do it. And that's why I often the word is Eucharist, meaning the Lord's Supper, the kind of thing that we do. Because he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Now, the King James, based on the received text, has an extra part in there. The oldest manuscripts do not have this. You go back into the oldest manuscripts in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th century that were discovered. They were discovered many years later. These are the large manuscripts. They were done in the high uncials. They were done not the minuscules, but the uncials. That is the capital letters. They have the word like this. He took some bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Which is broken for you. The Greek word for broken is from the Greek word klao, K-L-A-O. It is used only in the New Testament to break bread. It means to rip off bread. It is used over and over again. And they came together to break bread. And the disciples sat and they broke bread. And wherever you see the word break bread, that word is exclusively used for breaking bread, not breaking up a body. Was Jesus' body broken? No, wasn't broken. If you call a cut a broken, did you break your body when you cut yourself, when you were whipped or something? It was not broken. Jesus' body had no broken bones. He had no broken, clavicle. He had no broken ribs. He had no broken bones. Was not broken. It was pierced, but not broken. That word is only used of bread. So there are no really good manuscripts, no really good modern translations that use the word broken for you, because it's not broken. It is. This is my body for which is given for you, which I gave for you. I gave my whole being. We talked about that in a previous sermon. I gave my whole being for you. And then what does he say? This do as a reminder, a remembrance of me. A reminder, do it. The Greek word is anamnesis. Anamnesis is what happens when you have amnesis rather than anamnesis. Means you don't remember. Somebody has amnesia, that means you don't remember. But the Greek word is anamnesis, not amnesis. And it means to remember. It's a reminder. I'm giving you this bread. I want this bread represents my body. Now, I understand Catholics think it means the actual bread. They think they're taking the actual body, that they're eating the actual body and drinking the actual blood. Now, when Jesus did it, and he says this, I'm standing here, okay? And I said, I break a piece of bread off and I hand it to you. I said, this is my body, which is given for you. Go ahead and eat it. Are you eating my body? No, because I'm standing here. You're not eating my body. I mean, so everybody who reads the original passage knows Jesus didn't meet my literal body is in this bread because his literal body was standing right here when he gave the bread to them. I mean, how silly can people be? But that's just how silly things can get. And when he said, this is the cup, and he pours the wine into this, you know, he has this cup, and he drinks, he hands this cup. He says, this cup is the blood, my blood, the blood of the covenant, you know, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. Now, did you think you're actually drinking Christ's blood when he's standing right here? I mean, it's mystical, crazy. This is how religions get people turned off. Okay, so it's... He's standing there. It doesn't mean that. This is a reminder of me. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and dropping down to verse 26, Paul says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. That means to make known in public with implications of a broad dissemination, to proclaim, to announce. The same Greek word is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Even so has the Lord ordained that those which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Preach the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. It means that I'm going to spread the gospel out. So Jesus said, every time you take this bread, as often as you take this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, you proclaim the Lord's death. It's a memorial. His death is to be remembered. Our service is a memorial of that death. That's what we're proclaiming. Anybody who walks in here, anybody who comes in here, anybody around us, anybody that we tell everybody we're going to have this service, it's a proclamation of Jesus Christ's death until he comes back. In John, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 and verse 26. Now, you heard earlier in the sermon that Peter's thing, he said, I want to put you in remembrance. I'm going to write this so you remember some things about what happened. And he did. First, this is John chapter 14. What is one of the functions of the Holy Spirit? John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, he's saying this to his original disciples. You know that those speeches were done on that night that he was betrayed, and that right after the supper. And he is saying this to his original disciples. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So we have these statements in the Gospels. We have these passages. We have the Gospel writers, okay, bringing to us Jesus' words that he said. John is saying it. The apostles said it. We now know what Jesus said on that night. And in John chapter 15, verse 20, he said to the disciples here, remember the word that I said to you. Remember that. A slave is not greater than his master. Okay, now that's a very important thing to know. In other places in the book of Matthew, he says, you know, that the disciple, you know, the one sent is not greater than the one who sends him. You send somebody, okay, here, take this message, take it over there. You're not greater than the person that sent you. Who has the authority, greater authority, the person that sent you? Matthew talks about that. Here he says, I want you to remember, a slave or servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So we're not supposed to be all, oh, this is all awful, they're persecuting us. You know, I mean, you're not supposed to fall apart if you get any persecution, because what did he say? You're not greater than me. If they persecute me, why are you worried about this? Why are you so all like this is some strange thing? If they persecute me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Do they keep Jesus' word? Not many. Do we expect to have people just keeping the word that we preach out? Not many. No. I want you to remember that, he says. Because you can get discouraged, thinking, well, we're not converting everybody. Well, they're not doing all everything we say. Well, when we give the word out and they're not just running to it, how come? How come they want to persecute us? And I guarantee you, if we didn't have the Constitution of the United States protecting us, if we did not have that, there would be factors of people wanting to stomp us out. They would say, you're heretics. You don't believe. You're off base. You're first century Christians. You're doing the quarto decimans. You're the quarto decimans. You shouldn't exist. And there will be people that want to stamp you out, as there have been in time past in different countries. Remember the word that I said to you. Remember me, Jesus said. So when we come together tomorrow night, when we come together to take the bread and the wine, there may be things you forgot. You may have, some people come, they come to church and they say, oh, I forgot my little pen. I forgot to bring my little basin for water. Some people come to, oh, no, I forgot to bring a towel for drying my foot. I forgot that. You know, you forget a lot of things. I forgot. I may have forgotten whether I locked the front door or not. A lot of things you forget. But the one thing you should not forget, that when you take the bread and the wine, you're doing it in remembrance of him.